Okay, we'll continue and we'll go to question number 8. And both question 8 and 9 are very short, the answers. Okay. Basically, I don't have much to say for question 8. My answer is, you know, to what is giddi? Giddi refers to the sense of social obligation which every individual is supposed to develop and practice in life. Yeah, so also it's supposed to develop and follow in life. So whatever word you're comfortable with. I just think supposed to develop, but it's not only just developing, but also putting it into practice, also doing it. Okay, so that's why I added supposed to develop and practice in life. Okay. Now, I'm not sure what your answers are. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but anyway, you have the mic. What is your answer? What is giddi?
This is exactly the same.
Okay, what I'm finding is everybody loves this answer, which is good. So,
giddi refers to the sense of social obligation which every individual is supposed to develop and practice in life.
Okay, how about him? Maybe he has something to add. Okay, so what is giddi?
Giddi is the sense of social obligation. If someone does you a favor, you are supposed to reciprocate the favor in the future. So, yeah, that's all.
Okay, right. So most of these answers are short. He also says, uses this. So if someone does a favor for you, you are supposed to reciprocate, which is fine. If you don't like that word, you could say you're supposed to pay back.
Pay back.
Okay. Right. Pay back the favor. So that's also, but reciprocate is fine. If I could spell it, it's R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-A-T-E, I believe.
Can I say return?
Yes, that's fine also, return. So you're supposed to return the favor.
Okay.
So if somebody does you a favor, you are supposed to return the favor. If somebody does you a favor, you are supposed to reciprocate.
Reciprocate.
Yeah, now that I wouldn't say reciprocate the favor, but reciprocate is just back. If someone does you a favor, you're supposed to pay back the favor.
Okay.
In
the last examination, I couldn't say reciprocate. I tried to say this.
Oh.
But I failed.
Oh, if you don't like it, just pay back or return.
I should say return or.
Okay.
Answer is okay? Answer.
Answer. No, I wouldn't say answer, no. Answer back is different.
Different, okay.
Yeah. Answer back. No, answer back is actually not a good expression. To answer back is.
Shikaishi, revenge.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, to answer back. I don't want to do that. You know.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's why sometimes I say it's very, the best policy sometimes is to use easy words.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Junior high school words rather than.
Switch. From the hard, tough word to easy word.
Yeah, okay.
Easy hard.
All right, let's go on to question 9. What is ninjo? Now, my answer for what is ninjo is I've given the definition and then the examples. What I mean is this. Ninjo refers to the natural human feelings everyone is supposed to have from birth. These feelings include happiness, anger, joy, sadness, love, sympathy, sorrow, etc. Ninjo refers to the natural human feelings that everyone is supposed to have from birth. These feelings include happiness, anger, joy, love, sadness, sympathy, sorrow, etc., and so forth. Okay, so I just added a few more feelings in the answer that they have love, sympathy, and sorrow, but, you know, more common, easier words are maybe happiness, anger, joy, sadness.
Can I say angriness? Or?
No, anger I think is the noun.
Oh, okay, angry.
Anger.
Anger.
A-N-G-E-R, anger. These are all nouns. Happiness, anger, joy, sadness are all nouns. If you want to use adjectives, then you would say these include feelings of being happy, sad, angry. Okay, so what is ninjo?
Okay, ninjo refers to the natural human feelings of love, anger, joy, happiness, sadness, sympathy, etc. between parents and child, friends, lovers, etc. And the ninjo is a spontaneous expression of feeling to others. Giri, or social obligation, and ninjo are both needed as a social member.
As a social
member. As a social person or social existence.
Oh, as a member of society.
As a member of society, okay.
Okay. All right, good. What is ninjo?
Ninjo refers to the natural human feelings that everyone is forced to have from birth. The feelings include happiness, anger, joy, love, sadness, love, sympathy, and so on.
Okay. So, are Ochugen and Osebo giri or ninjo?
I think it depends on their situation and the person. If we have a feeling, depends on the person. In Japanese society, is based on their very daytime favored society.
So society based on returning favors.
And favors.
Returning favors.
Returning favors.
Yes.
Returning favors. Mm. So people tends to send a gift in the midsummer and in the end of the year.
Mm. But so that's what depends maybe if it's giri or ninjo. Mostly giri? Probably 9%, how many percent, we don't know. But mostly, probably the majority is because of giri, right? Okay. Can you think of an example of the conflict between giri and ninjo? What is an example where people have a conflict?
Uh-huh.
Can you think of one?
Oh, conflict. Giri and ninjo. When I was a salaried man, I had a subordinate. From the ninjo, I had to say, it's not good, so you have to do this thing.
You have to
do this thing.
Oh, okay, do this thing, okay. Mm.
To the subordinate.
Mm.
It's from ninjo.
Mm-hmm.
But from giri, he had do something very good last night. For example, he paid for me at a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't scold him.
Ah, okay.
It's a very tiny conflict, but.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you think of work, a lot of work situations in Japan have a lot of giri ninjo conflict. You know, so what do you do? If you have lots of work and the boss says you have to finish this, but it's your child's birthday. Mm-hmm. And you have to go home for a nice birthday dinner. What do you do? Choose to work late and not go home? Or do you go home and leave the work, right? So, oh, dosho, right?
Oh, yes. It's conflict.
So a lot of work situations end up with giri, ninjo, conflict.
Yes.
People ask about this, well, is this real only Japanese? And of course not, it's not only Japanese. I think the idea of giri is more Japanese. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Western people also have a feeling, well, gee, I better do this for them because they helped me. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have such a strong degree of giri.
Uh-huh.
But people still like to pay back favors like, oh, well, you know, you helped me move. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm taking you out for dinner or something. So these kinds of things. And it's not just because, you know, that it's a favor as being nice. Uh-huh. You do this. But there's also an obligation, too. You pay back favors. Just not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in okaishi, right? Giving, paying back with gifts in Japan is just a common practice. Well, in America, we don't have that. If you go to the wedding, you just give the gift and they don't give you a gift in return. Or if you go visit somebody in the hospital, you bring them flowers, you bring them, I don't know, toy.
Uh-huh.
But they don't give you something in return. So Japanese love this okaishi.
Yes.
Thing, which is more like a giri thing, but in America we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times, yes, people do have favors and they pay favors and mm-hmm. take people for drinks or treat them or something. So, yeah, there's times.
Mm-hmm.
There's also conflict too, like work and family. What do you do? There's always TV shows and movies based on, you know, husbands and wife fighting because the husband worked too much and never home and the wife, you know, she can't do her work and, you know, so a lot of these situation movies, situation, you know, television dramas
uh-huh.
are based on this conflict of work and family. That's a big giri ninjo.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think about who there was? Who was it? The Bundaku author or puppet writer, puppet play writer, right? Chikamatsu
Monzaimon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he loved this conflict of
yes.
giri ninjo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. So he that's the Japanese love, you know, this thing of
yes.
giri ninjo. But it's not only limited, but the degree is different.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, other things you can think of, like, or whatever, you know, I mentioned about ochugen and osebo.
Uh-huh.
What about Christmas presents?
Oh, Christmas present, in the case of Christmas present, I don't think it's giri. It's from their passion or
okay.
their good feeling.
Yeah, I think yeah. Christmas is something that's like kind of outside of Japanese society. But it is funny in a sense that it matches the timing of Christmas gifts, right? Osebo
oh, yeah.
matches
Osebo,
the
yes,
timing.
Matches, yeah.
So it looks kind of like a Christmas gift, but it's not. You know, it's totally different. But the concept from my point of view is it looks like a Christmas gift. Yeah.
I think the Christmas present is exchanged between lovers and parents and kids.
Well, you know, yeah, that's an interesting thing because, like, in America, companies send gifts to Christmas gifts.
To
clients.
Employee.
Well, not to employees, but yeah, like other companies.
Oh.
Like, what is it, the your clients, not client, your clients. Your clients you send Christmas cookies or cake or something. So at the year end, people send a lot of Christmas gifts, and it looks like kind of the Osebo type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a important client that pays you lots of money, is a good customer, you send them things for Christmas.
Oh, okay. Mm. Is it very usual?
Mm.
Common?
Yeah, it's pretty common to get
uh-huh.
gifts from other companies, I think.
Uh-huh.
Depends, but yeah, a lot of times you're sending Christmas gifts or things. So again, that is interesting. The timing is the same. Oh, but between boss and subordinate, she's asking. Yeah, well, that again, a lot of time becomes a friendly. If you're close, you do it. You don't do it because, oh, he's the boss, you know, boss dakara, I have to give him something. No. You usually give if you're very close and that's the situation. So you don't give because he's the boss, you give because he's your, like, friend and nice guy or nice lady. Okay?
Okay.
All right, let's go on to this... Question 10 about this honne and tatemai. And just to mention, this is the same thing also. It's not just something unique to Japan. Mm-hmm. I think all cultures have, you know, honne and tatemai.
Okay.
Again, it's the matter of a degree. Mm-hmm. The amount of degree depends. Okay?
Okay.
So, is it true that Japanese, well, this question is it true that Japanese differentiate between honne and tatemai, depending on the situation? Yeah, it's true. They, you know, differentiate, but like everybody differentiates. So, another question, what is, you know, honne, what is tatemai? It's maybe easier to answer. In this question, they talk about tatemai as enunciated principle, and unfortunately, I've never heard of that term before. I would never say that. Tatemai is like, what, the one's public face? Yeah. It's a simple expression, yeah. The honne is true feelings. True intentions they have here in the question, but true feelings. And tatemai is public face. So, all this asks the question as it is, do they differentiate? Well, of course they differentiate, but we know what is what and how do they differentiate. Let's see if you answer that. Let's see. So, is it true that Japanese differentiate between honne and tatemai depending on the situation?
Yes, it is true. In Japan, harmony is the most important virtue or moral. To keep harmony, people sometimes don't express their own opinion, which is honne. Instead, they express tatemai, which is public face.
Mm-hmm.
Or official stance.
Mm.
By doing this, they avoid to not to keep peace within society.
Mm. Right.
So, honne and tatemae is differentiated depending on the situation.
Okay, good. I didn't read my answer, but I'll let her finish. I'll go last this time. Is it true Japanese differentiate between honne and tatemae, depending on the situation?
Yes, it depends on the situation. And we can see sometimes there are... big differences between his or her words, public face, and true feelings. Because Japanese society is based on the vertical structure, and people tend to emphasize public face instead of their true feelings. This is in order to avoid conflict and to maintain harmony in the society.
Mm. Okay, good. Yeah, alright, I'll talk about this a little bit more. My answer was about do they differentiate is yes, depending on the situation, Japanese differentiate between honne, one's true feelings, and tatemai, the behavior and opinions one expresses in public. The tactics of tatemai or facade are used to avoid conflict and maintain social harmony. Okay, and again, this is of course something to the degree, but in America, you know, everybody uses this. If somebody bakes you a cake or cookies, oh look, I made these homemade cookies, try, and you eat it and it's, oh, nantomazi. You don't say that, you say, oh, it's interesting taste, or oh, when did you make these, or were these hard to make, or something. You don't say, you know, to hurt people's feelings. So of course, this idea of harmony, but also tatemae is used to avoid hurting other people's feelings. So in that sense, it's used a lot also, you know, in every country probably. You don't want to say things that hurt people's feelings. You know, another thing also, of course, it's a sad situation, but if somebody is very ill in the hospital, you don't go and see them and say, oh, you look really bad. Even though they do, you don't say that, right? Oh, well, good, I hope you're feeling better, you know, or, you know, how are you doing, you know? So, again, it's the degree, and, you know, one of the things is, you know, also the tactics of tatemae are used to avoid conflict and maintain whole social harmony and avoid hurting other people's feelings, you know? So, yeah, is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, you understand. So this is not just something only in Japan. I think every culture uses this to some degree. Because you can't say everything you think. You won't be very popular. So politicians are famous for tatemae, right? Okay, last couple questions are really important. I'm not going to read an answer for number 11 and number 12 because I think these are your own answers and I think they should be perfected. If you look at question 11, it says, why do you want to be a tour guide? They've asked this for the last 4 years. They usually ask this every year. Sometime, obviously, you know, during the day of the test, of the interview test, they don't ask the same five questions from morning until afternoon. They change the questions according to the time. But during the day at some time, they will ask this probably. So your answer should be very good. You should think about this and say a perfect answer. The thing that I emphasize, and it sounds nice, is to make sure that you say something that is what? You know, two-way. Meaning, you know, I want to do this because I want a job where I can speak English, so I can practice English. You know, that's kind of a selfish... Again, so honne de ii, but don't say it, right? Tatemae is, oh, I want to help people. And, you know, hope I can use my English and my job to help people. Okay, so something like that. Make it sound like a two-way, you know, exchange and being friendly and all kinds of things. So you have the mic. Why do you want to be a tour guide?
Well, actually, I've been practicing the way of Japanese tea for over 10 years. And... I started to practice Japanese calligraphy 3 years ago, and sometimes I conduct public demonstrations on the tea ceremony, mainly for people from overseas, and sometimes conduct our demonstration Japanese calligraphy mm-hmm. and in front of them. So I always have a great time showing them our culture and explaining our history, arts, and culture, so all over which I'm very proud of. So, and now I want more people to know about this country, and I'd like to contribute to the mutual understanding between the people who comes from out of Japan. And I want those who want to experience Japan. Excuse me. I'd like to help people who want to experience Japan.
Okay, let's try that. One of the things is you said out of Japan, maybe outside Japan?
Outside Japan.
Yeah, I want to help other people who come
outside of
Japan or who come from foreign countries.
Okay, who come from foreign countries.
Okay, and say the last part again.
Now I want more people to know about this country, and I'd like to contribute to the mutual understanding between the Japanese and those who comes from foreign countries,
mm-hmm.
and those who want to experience Japan.
Okay, good. Yeah, that works. So say that. Don't change it. Don't change a word. Remember that. Remember and practice it. Say it in your dreams when you go to bed at night. I want to be a tour guide because, right, you're sleeping, you can say. Okay? Good. How about you? Why do you want to be a tour guide?
I live in Kamakura. Whenever I see tourists, foreign tourists on the road, I felt like explaining Kamakura for them. Cultural exchange is very attractive to me. I would like to explain our culture and a lot of things to foreigners, and then they can tell us, they can tell me their culture. So it's very present to me. For example, in front of the temple's garden, I can explain and tell what the garden's features are.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be moved, and then they can explain their own their styles of gardens to me. So it's a cultural exchange that is very good to me. So I would like to be a tour guide.
Okay, good. Just one thing about you said that they can tell me about their culture.
Uh-huh.
Right? They can tell about their culture. What did you say? Tell their culture. I think you said they can tell their culture.
Tell their culture.
Tell about their culture. They can tell me about their culture.
They can tell me about the culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. To me, those both sound good. So practice those again and again. Okay. The next question, question 12, is what is the most important thing to be a tour guide? And again, I don't have anything to add to this, but it's interesting to hear your answers first. What is the most important thing to being a tour guide?
Okay. I think it is enthusiasm. If I am very enthusiastic in guiding and explaining Japanese culture to the foreigners, they will also become eager to learn more about Japan itself and Japanese culture. And then they may be willing to explain their own culture. So enthusiasm is very important, the most important thing to me.
Okay.
And if I am very enthusiastic, I have to learn a lot more about our history, our culture, and geography.
Okay, good. I have to learn. I want to learn.
I want to learn. Yeah.
It doesn't have to learn. I want to learn. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good. What is your answer? What is the most important thing to be a tour guide?
The number one quality required for a tour guide is hospitality, and your organizational skills are very important, I think. And of course, a tour guide should be very professional and knowledgeable of every aspect of the country. On the other hand, a very good personality and a sense of humor is exactly what is needed.
Mm. Right. Okay, good. Yeah, this is hard to say what is the most important thing, you know. So a lot of people, you know, give lots of important things. I think that's okay. Like you gave lots of things. He based his on enthusiasm. Right. Okay. The only thing I would add to this in my experience is one thing that you really need is flexibility. Yeah, now open mind is also part of flexibility. It's like when people tell you things, it's, oh my gosh, this is not good. But you have to be flexible to respond to different situations, to changing things, to problems. When you have, you know, when you have sick tourists, when you have a bus that breaks down, when you have an airplane that's late, you know, when the hotel room is not ready, these kinds of things, you have to be flexible. So you have to deal with lots of things and other people's opinions and ideas and cultural values and things. So, okay. So, what important qualities do you have in particular to make you a good tour guide?
You mean what qualities do I have to be a tour guide?
Yeah, not him or everybody, you.
Through my over 10 years experience as a in the aviation service industry, I sincerely believe that I'm very well experienced with customer service.
Okay.
I think the number one quality required for a tour guide is hospitality, and flexibility is also very important. So I'm very proud of myself having such abilities.
Good. Yohatta. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is because, you know, don't, you know, hesitate to say nice things about yourself. Right? So, you know, I tell everyone, you know, it's okay to lie. You know, uso de mui, because they don't know you personally, right? So if you sound good, oh, I'm flexible, I am very hospitable, I'm friendly, you know. They don't know for sure, but it sounds good, right? So for you, what qualities do you have to make you a good tour guide?
I have great knowledge about our history, geography, and cultures. For example, I am an old person, so I learned a lot compared with younger people.
Mm-hmm.
as for cultures, I go watching the puppet theater, Kabuki theater many times, and also I live in Kamakura, so I know a lot of things about temples, shrines. So these are almost common, even in Kyoto, the feature of garden.
Okay.
So I can explain very easily and kindly of these things to foreigners.
Okay, good. All right, good. Yeah, a couple things that other words that are nice to add, like you would probably put, I have good people skills, right? From working in the service industry, I have good people skills is one thing.
The people skills.
People skills. People, like P-E-O-P-L-E. Good people skills. That's used a lot. You know, how are your people skills? So how are you... how good are you to deal with people? So a lot of department store, you know, clothing store people, you know, they need to have good people skills because there's many different kinds of customers. So people who work in stores are asked, you know, how are your people skills? Okay. And hospitality is really a difficult word. I know in your answer you were saying something about I have a hospitality something. And hospitality is a noun. And it's normally not used as an adjective because hospitable is the adjective, although it's not an easy adjective to say. Hospitality seems easier to say than hospitable. But I am very hospitable. I have very hospitable, you know, manners. So you cannot say I am hospitality. You know, I am hospitable. So if you want to maybe change, you say I'm very caring about people. I'm very caring about people. It sounds a little funny, but you know, I care a lot about people. I'm very caring of people. Excuse me. I'm very caring of people. I'm very caring of people. Okay, I'm very caring of people. So things like that also work. Hospitable is a good word. Hospitality is a good word. Some people have difficulty pronouncing, but they're very good words and probably are important to say in these answers, 11 and 12. So practicing hospitable and hospitality. Okay? So we finished. Let's practice a little bit about past questions. Okay, are you ready to review? This is an easy question. I'll start off with easy question. What period of Japanese history are you interested in most?
I am interested in Kamakura era period.
In the Kamakura period.
In the Kamakura period. Because I live in Kamakura, so naturally I like the Kamakura period. In which the samurai came to the governor at the first time, for the first time. And totally different government governing was practiced, conducted in the period. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, new religion like Zen Buddhism was opened in Kamakura city. So there are many temples were established at that time. Mm. And other art such as sculpture was established at that time.
Okay. All right. What event in Japanese history is the most important, do you think?
I think Meiji Restoration mm-hmm. is a very important, one of the very important events in Japanese history, because the feudal age came to end. Came to an end in 1868, and the new era, the Meiji Restoration, after the Meiji Restoration, and so everything has dramatically changed. The people adopted the new environment, imported the Western style, for example, education system, military system, and people improved their technology and import their Western technology.
Imported
the Western technologies, and the life of the Japanese has very dramatically changed.
Okay, so the life of Japanese has... I would not say has, just the life of Japanese was changed.
Was changed. Mm. Gradually very changed.
Right, okay, good. One other grammar point. You started out with what? The feudal period came to an end?
An end.
That's fine. If you don't like to say all that, the feudal period ended. That's fine, but what you said is fine. But you need, for correct grammar, it means come to an end. Okay? Yeah. All right. She talked about the Meiji Restoration. Can I ask you, how was Japan modernized after the Meiji Restoration?
After the Meiji Restoration, many things were modernized. For example, lifestyles were changed.
Lifestyles, okay. Well,
lifestyle was changed.
Yeah, lifestyle.
Lifestyle was changed, such as clothing and eating habit, and education. Hmm? Those things are very were changed very drastically. Mm-hmm. And also, the government promoted the industries. Promoted to activate industries. Mm-hmm. I mean, heavy industry such as steel and iron, and so building, shipbuilding, and so on. Mm. And also the government established a new style, modern army or military force.
Okay, yeah, modern army is fine. Yeah,
Okay. To reinforce the company itself, the country.
Country, yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Let me ask you, can you tell me about the last shogun?
Okay. Tokugawa Yoshinobu was the last shogun of feudal ages in Japanese history. He was the 15th shogun of Tokugawa Shogunate, and he came to be, he became a shogun in 1866. That he retired, he stepped down from shogun in 1868 because at that time, at the end of the Edo period, Japan was forced to open by Western powers, mm-hmm. and some feudal daimyo was very worried about the Japan would be colonized by Western power, so they tried to modernize the Japanese government and get rid of their shogunate power.
Mm.
So that is why Tokugawa Yoshinobu stepped down from their shogun.
Okay.
He was the last.
Right. Okay, I was thinking quickly to get rid of, you could say to end.
To
finish?
To finish your feudal government.
Right. Okay. Couple grammar things. The feudal lords, a few feudal lords were worried.
I think you said
feudal lords was worried.
Oh.
So feudal lords were worried.
Feudal lords were worried.
About?
About their Japan
would
be colonized by Western powers.
Okay, so let's say worried that.
Worried that.
Yeah, so we would put feudal lords were worried that Japan would be
colonized
by
Western
powers.
Right.
Good, okay. We talked about he stepped down from shogun. Okay. I said stepped down, but I think the grammar is he stepped down from being shogun.
Okay.
Yeah. He stepped down as shogun. Maybe would work. Mm.
He stepped down as shogun.
Mm. Okay, good. Okay, there was a lot of history. What about, the size of Japan? How big is Japan?
How big is Japan? Japanese land area is 380 million. No. 38,000 square kilometers. No?
38,000. 38, so.
38,000 square kilometers. 38,000. Ah, 380.
Yeah, so be careful. 38,000 is kind of small still. So, how big is Japan?
Japan's land area is around 380 square kilometers.
Mm. 380,000
square kilometers.
Good. Okay.
And It's very close to that of the California in the States, mm-hmm. and also that of Germany and France. Mm.
Okay, right. So don't forget the number, yeah.
380,000
square kilometers. Good. Tell me about the geographical features of Japan. What are some geographical features?
Japan is consisted of a chain of small islands, and Japanese archipelago stretches out 3,000 kilometers from northeast to southwest, and they consist of over 6,800 small islands, and some of which are not inhabited. And the climate differs. That's four.
What happened? Are all the islands small?
Oh, Japan has four islands: mm-hmm. Hokkaido, Honshu, Shikoku, and Kyushu, and over 6,800 smaller islands.
And how many volcanoes?
Oh, okay. There are about 80 active volcanoes in Japan, and it is 10% of 800 active volcanoes in the world. And there are many hot springs in Japan because of their volcanic activities.
Right. And Japan has almost 70% mountainous?
Oh, okay.
Japan is almost 70% covered by mountains. And the real arable land, the land they can use for farming, is only 13% of the country. Okay, so there's lots of these kind of facts that would be nice to add to this answer. Okay. Okay. One difficult question. How was the prime minister elected?
Oh, prime minister election? Mm-hmm. It is not like the USA. It's the prime minister is elected in the Diet.
Elected from among the Diet.
From among the Diet.
Uh-huh.
We have two houses, upper house and lower house, and they elect a person. Usually from leading party, top of a leading party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, I think.
Okay, all right, yeah. So it's, yeah, if you go into difficult details, it becomes complicated. So yeah, it's elected from among the members of the Diet, and usually it ends up being the head of the majority party.
Majority party.
Right, head of the majority party.
Leading party is...
Leading
party
is fine,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Head of the leading party. Right, okay, good. All right, so I think we've covered everything. This is a good review. Again, just keep on practicing your answers. As I've said before, you know, think of your answer, and it's best to make an answer for every question. And practice the same answer over and over and over, so you become fluent, you're used to it, you feel confident. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to change your answers a little bit, uh-huh. it's okay. But at one point, you need to fix your answer and make it solid.
Okay.
And then don't change. Just memorize it again. That's my hint for everybody. So that's why you can remember lots of these, you know, facts.
Okay.
Like topography and all. Geography, these kinds of things. So you don't forget something also. Mm. I know you get nervous and it's hard and lots of things to remember, but my suggestion is to do this. And the final thing is to say it out loud. Read it using your voice. Don't just read with your eyes, because saying something is more difficult than reading. Okay? Mm. All right, I've enjoyed having you, and I was really, it was fun, and I appreciate you using the microphone and let everybody listen to you. And I wish you very good luck for the test, and maybe I'll see you in the next version of the Tokun class.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.